What's happening, everybody? Monday, November 25th, 2024. Wow, got ahead of myself there. My name is Kevin Smith. Thank you all so much for tuning in to Loud Majority Live. We got a jam-packed show for you guys. Today, Elon Musk trolling the liberal media in a way that only he can do, both physically and financially, in one of the funniest things I think I've ever heard in my entire life. Some Democrats beginning to come around to the fact of why they lost, and some refusing to accept reality. We're going to have a little bit of fun with that. Also, the State Department holds a giant crying session over their loss to Donald Trump in one of the weirdest stories I think I've ever seen. Also, we're getting a look at what could be cut in the new Department of Government Efficiency, DOGE, of course, headed up by Elon Musk and Vivek Ramaswamy, and the subcommittee being chaired by Marjorie Taylor Greene. Pretty excited to see all of that. We're going to dive into all of that good stuff today. Before we get started, guys, hit that thumbs up button, share the video out all over the place. We're rocking, we are rolling today. I want to say hello to everybody. Let's get this up. Boom. Where the hell did it go? There it is. There's the live chat. Hello, everybody. What's happening, Marissa? AC Knight, how are you? As always, very good to see you guys. Tommy Girl, hello, hello. TPH, what's happening? Saying hello to everybody as we get rocking and rolling here. Also, real quick, guys, big Black Friday sale over at loudmajorityusa.com. Make sure you guys head on over there. Use promo code Black Friday. That's going to be running all week. Check out all the good stuff over there. That's loudmajorityusa.com. Promo code Black Friday. Oh, yeah. And, of course, for the viewers of this show, the exclusive viewers of this show, if you use promo code Black Friday, you're gonna get a free Trump flag. You're gonna get a free Trump flag today. Giddy up, let's go. Tim, how are you? Jeanette, how are you? Bansky Mike, what's happening? What is happening? Sagan, how are you? Tina, hello, hello, hello. Deb, what's happening? Yeah, we're going to have a little bit of fun today because Elon buying MSNBC might be one of the funniest damn things I've ever heard in my entire life. Just for no particular reason other than it's funny. Is it a terrible business investment? Probably. But it'll be hilarious nonetheless. So let's dive right on in. Because before we get to that, I want to... There's some late breaking news at the moment. Donald Trump has come out with an endorsement of Matt Gaetz's replacement in Florida 1. He has come out and backed someone named Jimmy Patronis to fill Matt Gaetz's seat in Congress. President-elect Donald Trump has backed Jimmy Patronis in order to fill Congressman Matt Gaetz's seat. If Patronis decides to run, Trump posted on True Social, a special election is set to fill Gaetz's seat. Jimmy Patronis, the chief financial officer for the great state of Florida, has done a tremendous job as the CFO, where he serves as the state's fire marshal. All right. Going a bit pro-business on that end. We know that Trump nominated Gaetz, blah, blah, blah. Gaetz announced he would not be rejoining the 119th Congress, which has set a special election for his seat in motion. Patronis has not officially announced he's going to run, but backing from Trump will make the potential bid more likely. Last week, Patronis posted on X, "I am strongly considering a run for Florida's first congressional district. We've got a historic opportunity to fight the swamp and the lawfare and return power back to the hands of Americans." Patronis is the chief financial officer and serves in the state's cabinet. He has also served as a representative in the Florida legislature. We don't know a lot about this guy. Is he going to be a fighter the way Matt Gaetz was? I gotta be honest, I don't know the guy, but it's gonna be pretty hard to fill those shoes. Now, obviously, that's a safe Republican seat. Whoever wins the primary wins the general election. I believe it's like an R plus 16 or something. It's a safe red seat. So we'll see what comes of that. Now, someone else who's going to be looking for a job very soon would be, of course, one Kamala Harris. As her time wanes in the White House, she's got nothing to do afterwards. So what is she going to do? Well, it turns out she's got two options, both of which are hilarious. Kamala eyes a 2028 presidential run or a 2026 California gubernatorial run, according to a new report. This is majestic, because nothing says Democratic politics like sucking, losing, and then thinking that you can run again. Vice President Harris is reportedly telling advisors to keep her political options open for a possible presidential run in 2028 or a campaign for governor in her home state after the loss of Donald Trump earlier this month. Harris has laid low since the election and has not made many public appearances. However, Harris is telling aides that she's staying in the fight, Politico reported. The vice president expects to gauge her options for running again in 2028 or making a bid for the California governor, the governor of California in 2026 as she stays with family over the holidays. I thought she was the one running the country. So who is running the country? Because there is still an administration happening right now. I've got to know how many more days until January 20th. This just needs to end already. We need to get out of this misery. We need to get out of this misery that is the Democratic Party. This has got to end sooner rather than later. The hubris of someone like Kamala Harris to think that she can still run and still win. Honestly, I think it would be absolutely hilarious to see her run in a 2028 primary, a primary that is sure to be jam-packed with crazy people and irrational Democrats. Now, why do I say that? Because from where I'm sitting, all of the rational Democrats seem to have either flown the coop or are not going to be either in the position to run for president or out of political life. You guys know I've talked about Jon Stewart. We're going to talk about Bill Maher later in the show, who's making very rational points, and nobody seems to want to be listening to the ones making the most rational of all the points. However, the 2028 primary, I assume, is going to be filled with people like Gavin Newsom, AOC. Some of you may know why that's funny right now, but we'll get to that later. But Donald Trump has filled his entire cabinet. He's ready to go. He's ready to dive in on day one. We're going to go through all the ones we know, and we're going to go through all the ones that came this weekend as Donald Trump fills a few more spots. Before we get to that, Mike Lindell.
You're still looking good.
I'm still feeling good. You know, I've got all your MyPillow products. Mattress topper, bed sheets, MyPillows, towels, slippers, blankets, sleepwear.
Whoa, Charles. Everyone now can get MyPillow products at huge discounts at MyPillow.com. That's right. Now's the time to go to MyPillow.com or call the number on your screen. Use your promo code to take advantage of our 3-in-1 sale. We're bringing you exciting new products, overstock specials, and closeout deals you won't find anywhere else. For example, when you buy one of our brand new MyPillow 2.0s, you get another one absolutely free. And with our overstock sale, you save 50% on our luxurious Giza Dream bed sheets. That's as low as $29.99 for the best sheets ever. And with our biggest closeout special, you get our all-season slippers for only $35. Or our sandals and slides for just $25. Quantities are limited, and once they're gone, they're gone.
Guys, head on over to MyPillow.com, promo code LOUD. That's MyPillow.com, promo code LOUD, for up to 80% off everything on the website. That's MyPillow.com, promo code LOUD. Guys, I got great special offers for Christmas over at MyPillow. You're going to want to check those out. That's MyPillow.com/LOUD. So let's go through all of the cabinet picks so far as Donald Trump has filled all of the spots. Obviously, Marco Rubio, Secretary of State, not thrilled with that one. Whatever. Move on. We got Pam Bondi, who's going to be an absolute fighter as the Attorney General taking over for Matt Gaetz. Secretary of Defense, Pete Hegseth. Giddy up. Let's go. Pete Hegseth is looking like he's going to be one of the people who is going to face the biggest uphill challenge in Senate confirmation. Another person who was put forth yesterday is someone named Scott Bissett. Scott Bissett, who's a billionaire hedge fund manager and the CEO of Key Square Group, has been tapped to lead the Treasury and oversees the world's largest economy. He has previously defended Trump's import tariffs as a campaign promise. Scott is widely respected as one of the foremost international investors and geopolitical and economic strategists. Scott's story is the American dream. Many people have a problem with Scott for a number of reasons. One, he's connected to George Soros. And I can understand why hearing that directly off the bat would give people great pause. But look, when you're at that upper echelon of economic markets in the billionaire class, all of these people run in the same circles. It's not out of the realm of possibility that they work together, that he worked for a subsidiary of them. I trust President Trump, particularly on appointing somebody, Secretary of the Treasury, who is going to enforce his tariff policy. That is what I care most about. He's gay, which I don't really care about, but it's an interesting little nugget. Actually, as a matter of fact, we're going to talk about Axios in a minute, because their CEO threw a temper tantrum about Elon Musk. But let's keep going through the cabinet picks. Homeland Security Secretary is Kristi Noem. Obviously, they had to put her as the Secretary of Homeland Security because they couldn't make her the CEO of PETA, obviously. I still can't believe she wrote that in her book. Not really the point. Doug Burgum, the Interior Secretary. We know Doug Burgum. Secretary of Agriculture, Brooke Rollins. That's, of course, a new one over the course of the last several days. Rollins' nomination was announced on Saturday. She is the president and founder of the America First Policy Institute, a think tank set up by former staffers in the first Trump presidency. Rollins had several roles in the first Trump administration, including the Domestic Policy Council. So she is a regular amongst the Trump people. Howard Lutnick, who is the former CEO of Cantor Fitzgerald, to run the Commerce Department. I like that pick. One of the more interesting ones that have caused quite a tizzy on the right for a number of reasons is the Oregon Congresswoman named to be the Secretary of Labor. And that is Lori Chavez DeRemer. Now, why has that caused a tizzy on the right? Many people on the traditional neocon right have been incredibly anti-labor, incredibly anti-union. We saw many of the right-to-work states happening throughout the wave of the Tea Party. People like Paul Ryan, people like Kevin McCarthy, who have achieved nothing in their entire life but running up the debt and spending about $1 billion to beat America First candidates, only beating one of them. Not the point. We'll move on. But she is a friend to the Teamsters. She is pro-union. And Donald Trump, whether you guys like this or not, has been incredibly pro-union much of his career. Building in New York kind of makes that necessary, where many of the jobs are union jobs. This is the most direct and, stark difference between the populist America First right and the neocon establishment on the right. Really moving them in a more pro-labor direction. What will this mean? Will we see a rise in union membership? Will we see a rise in trade laborers? I would like to see it. I would like to see it a whole hell of a lot. Obviously, HHS Secretary Bobby Kennedy, giddy up, let's go. Scott Turner has been tapped to run HUD, Housing and Urban Development. Scott Turner, he's a former Texas representative who also spent 9 seasons in the NFL. He previously served as the executive director of the White House Opportunity and Revitalization Council in the first Trump administration. Turner was also the first black person selected to serve in the cabinet. He's going to be running. He was one of the people who was largely responsible for the opportunity zones that people like Tim Scott were so crucial in putting together. With that being said, we'll see how that goes. Obviously, we don't know a lot about this guy. Sean Duffy, obviously, he's on Fox News. He's going to run the Department of Transportation, which, judging by the current Secretary of Transportation, you need no experience in that whatsoever. Linda McMahon, who was previously tombstoned by the next governor of Tennessee, if you know, you know, the former CEO of the WWE, who chairs Trump's transition team. She's been tapped to run the Department of Education, an extremely, extremely pro-school choice candidate at the top of the Department of Education. I'm liking it. I'm liking it a lot. Now, obviously, Lee Zeldin for EPA. Our boy Lee Zeldin, giddy up, let's go. Stefanik at the UN. Russ Voigt is going to head the OMB, which is a job he has already had. He's going to be heading that up again. He's caused much consternation amongst the left as the architect of Project 2025, a 922-page document that no one has read. Let's be honest. You haven't read it. I haven't read it. They haven't read it. Trump hasn't read it. I'd be shocked if Russ Voigt read the damn thing, and he's the one who wrote the document. Now, let's get to the one that has ruffled some feathers, that has caused the biggest tizzy, and that would be Tulsi Gabbard. Now, the part of this that I find so funny, and I've been using this as an example for quite some time about how Democrats feel about those who ought be on their side. Democrats do not hate me or you as much as they hate, say, a Candace Owens or a Dave Rubin or somebody who they feel should be on their side. Just look at the way they've treated Joe Rogan, a man who was once very much on their side. The same people who have lied to you constantly, up, down, left ways and front, left ways, front ways, sideways and back ways, about everything over the course of the last 10 years, are the same people coming out and been getting very, very upset about Tulsi Gabbard. She's a Russian asset. She's a stooge of Assad. All the crap. All the crap. So when it comes to absolutely nonsense, bullshit statements that are said on television in order to drive down ratings, we have to go to Melonhead Adam Schiff.
Let's talk about your former colleague who you just mentioned, Tulsi Gabbard. She's been picked as director of national intelligence. Just last week, Congresswoman Debbie Wasserman Schultz said Gabbard was, quote, likely a Russian asset. Do you share those concerns or is that overstated?
Well, I wouldn't describe her that way, but what I would say this, she has certainly echoed talking points for the Kremlin. She appeared to have taken Putin's side when he invaded Ukraine. And, you know, her fondness for Bashar al-Assad, someone who is gassing his own people, calls her judgment deeply into question. So here you have someone with very questionable judgment and no experience. That's not a great recipe for running the agencies. And the problem is, if our foreign allies don't trust the head of our intelligence agencies, they'll stop sharing information with us, and that makes our country less safe.
Oh,
I have profound concerns about her.
They'll stop sharing information with us. Well, how about we stop sharing foreign aid with them? How about that? That'd be a good place to start. But of course, she wasn't the only one. Tammy Duckworth, the senator from Wisconsin, echoed these sorts of views that Tulsi Gabbard is a no good, very bad person. And it's the part of this that I find so funny is that obviously they're trying the Pete Hegseth thing with allegations from 20 years ago that make absolutely no sense whatsoever. But the person that they're giving the biggest stink about is a former Democrat. Why? Because they feel that someone like Tulsi Gabbard ought to be on their side. Here is Tammy Duckworth also saying stupid things.
She's a critic of U.S. intelligence operations. She has promoted Russian propaganda. Your fellow Democrat, Debbie Wasserman Schultz, called her, quote, likely a Russian asset. Now, you and Tulsi Gabbard are both veterans. You served with her in the House. What do you think of her?
Well, I think she's compromised. I think by going to Syria and basically backing a brutal dictator there, Russian-controlled media called her a Russian asset. So I do think that we have a real deep concern whether or not she's a compromised person. And frankly, the U.S. Intelligence Committee, the U.S. intelligence community has identified her as having troubling relationships with America's foes. And so my worry is that she couldn't pass a background check.
She couldn't pass a background check. She couldn't pass a background check. Well, that's interesting because I'm fairly certain she's still a lieutenant colonel in the Army. So she can't pass a background check, according to Tammy Duckworth. She's, when Adam Schiff says she's echoed Russian talking points, I gotta be honest with you. I don't even know what the hell that even means. I have no idea what that means. Do I echo Russian talking points when I say I don't care about Ukraine? I don't care about Russia either. I don't care about it upways, downways, sideways, or backways. We've got enough problems of our own here. Senator Mark Wayne Mullins came out and pretty much put that to bed.
You got to keep in mind that Tulsi Gabbard is still Lieutenant Colonel in the United States Army. She commands the reserve unit here in Oklahoma and Missouri. If she was compromised, if she wasn't able to pass a background check, if she wasn't able to do her job, she still wouldn't be in the Army. And so Tammy is absolutely dead wrong on this, and she should retract those words. That's the most dangerous thing she could say, is that a United States Lieutenant Colonel in the United States Army is compromised and is an asset of Russia. It's actually sad to hear her say that. When I heard her say that, I thought, I wonder if this is political, because she's upset that Tulsi Gabbard left the Democrat Party because they went woke. Because I know they actually got along when they were in the House, and she knows Tulsi Gabbard. She knows her heart. She has a heart to serve. And so I think that's probably more politically motivated than it actually has any truth to it at all.
Now, obviously, the big question we've been seeing so far with these news outlets, many of them refuse to learn from their mistakes. They refuse to learn from their mistakes. You saw Kristen Welker there talking to the same Adam Schiff that lied to the American people for like a decade at this point, yet she still has them on. You saw Dana Bash talking to Tammy Duckworth, who just made shit up about Tulsi Gabbard, just clear, cold, out of thin air. In just a minute, I'm going to introduce you to somebody who is very, very, very super-duper-duper upset that nobody trusts these people anymore. And I can't imagine why. I cannot imagine why nobody trusts these self-important a-holes anymore. I can't imagine why. Maybe as trust in the media continues to wane, maybe you would think, hey, let's stop having on the same people that we know lie to us over and over and over again just because they have congressman or senator before their name. But some of these people will never learn. Before we get to that, guys, did you ever want to own a pair of night vision binoculars but didn't get them because of how expensive they were? Well, now you can get them for just under $200 with our sponsor, TacRite. Similar night vision goggles will sell for over $4,000 because once it's military grade, the price goes up. However, TacRite was able to find a revolutionary new technology that you can see even in the pitch dark. The night vision ones require at least some light in order to work. Our viewers can get a one-time amazing discount. Grab yours today for under $200. You don't even need a coupon code. Just visit TacRiteLFA.com. That is TacRiteLFA.com. This would make a great Christmas gift for anybody who's interested in the outdoors, hunting, the military, or just wants to feel safe in the middle of the night. Grab yours today because these supplies will not last. Guys, go to TacRiteLFA.com. That's TacRiteLFA.com. So I want to introduce you guys to the CEO of Axios. Now, some of you think that Axios is just another run-of-the-mill online newspaper, and you'd be right, because that's really all it is. However, many of these self-important idiots come from the special world of journalism, where you cannot question them, and they can put up walls around their world in order to stop or inhibit the barrier to entry, giving them the exclusive rights on what is or is not correct, giving them the exclusive say on what gets told to the American public. And he's very, very upset that we on X, influencers on X, people like myself, people like Nick Sorter, people like Roz Alerts, all my friends on X, have now become the media, have now said to the American people, get away from these idiots. come to X, join the party. We're having a good time over here. He is very, 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 very upset about this. And he goes on a bit of a rant, and Joe Scarborough over at CNN pats him on the back for doing so.
Matters. Everything we do is under fire. Elon Musk sits on Twitter every day, or X today, saying, like, we are the media. You are the media. My message to Elon Musk is bullshit. You're not the media. You having... you having a blue check mark, a Twitter handle, and 300 words of cleverness doesn't make you a reporter any more than me looking at your head and seeing that you have a brain and telling you I have an awesome set of tools makes me a damn neurosurgeon, right? Like, what we do, what journalists do, what you did in Mississippi, what Al Jazeera does in the Middle East, you don't proclaim yourself to be a reporter? Like, that's nonsense. Like, being a reporter's hard, really hard. You have to care. You have to do the hard work. You have to get up every single day and say, I want to get to the closest approximation of the truth without any fear, without any favoritism. You don't do that by popping off on Twitter. You don't do that by having an opinion. You do it by doing the hard work.
Yeah, come on. So clap, everybody. Whoa. First of all, I've got to say, extraordinary content. It needed to be said.
Yeah.
It continues to need to be said. When all of the garbage is flying around on social media, lying about reporters, lying about the hard work they do, lying about the hard work editors do, lying about everything up and down, about not only their alternative set of facts, but alternative set of facts about what people like you do.
And of course, when it comes to discussing what the truth is, we naturally have to look at Joe Scarborough, a man who not only wears makeup on television, but who wears a toupee, allegedly, and his cemented forehead wife sitting next to him. You want to talk about truth, Joe Scarborough? While you're in a split screen with Al Sharpton? Are you kidding me right now? Al Sharpton, how is Tawana Brawley, by the way? Haven't heard from her in a while. Quick question, Al. Reverend Al, even though nobody's ever heard you give a sermon, don't worry, not a big deal. Let's move on. The self-aggrandizing of these people. I want to make something very clear, okay? If you have to describe to somebody how important your job is, it's not important. I don't need to be told how important cops are. I don't need to be told how important nurses are. I don't need to be told how important the sanitation worker outside is. Because like they're important. They just are important. But watching some reporter that nobody has ever heard of. I don't even know. I got to be honest with you. Don't even know his name. Don't really give a shit. Like, he's just another guy in a mismatched suit telling you about how great it is to be him. With Joe Scarborough, the guy who met with Hitler, according to himself, the other day, and who has now seen a ratings decline in a catastrophic way, so much so that Comcast is spinning off MSNBC. They are spinning off MSNBC, and they are selling it, or in other words, nobody cares what they have to say anymore. So much so that there is speculation that Elon Musk could buy MSNBC just for the hell of it. We're going to get to that in 1 second. Before we do that, guys, hit that thumbs up button. Share the video out all over the place. Vintage Lulu Gal is correct. She prefers fat Al Sharpton. So do I. He looks a hell of a lot less like an alien. He's definitely got a bit of an alien sort of vibe about him now. Skinny Al Sharpton is very weird looking. Very weird looking. But that is not the point. They get so upset when we don't fawn over them. Yeah, exactly. And you know, it's so interesting too, guys. Let's pop this live chat up onto the screen. Gail, how are you? Once again, Marissa, how are you? Very, very good. Good, good, good stuff. Let's get this up here while I rant a little bit. when you exist in that bubble, in that echo chamber, where your only friends are the audience, and the audience leaves, what do you have left? You got nothing left. And at the moment, MSNBC has got nothing left. Their own side is calling for them to boycott them. And the reason why their side is calling to boycott them is because they lied for years. All they had to do was not lie for the last decade. But what they did, but here's what the lie did. The lie gave them that short-term fix. That little boost, that sugar rush. But as anybody knows, eating sugar is not good for you. It'll give you that little bit of a rush, but now they're dealing with the consequences of it all. Because the only way to get their ratings back is to try to tack to the center. But if they tack to the center, they're going to piss off the audience they still have left. Those who haven't cut the cord on cable. Those who haven't went to the podcast space. Those who haven't been the disaffected liberals. Like the Tim Pools, like the Joe Rogans, like the Dave Rubens, like Anna Kasparian or Crystal Ball. People who I very much disagree with, who have had enough with the Democratic Party. Had enough with the Democratic Party. So much so that Bernie Sanders is actually considering creating a third party because the Democratic elites have failed their voters. AOC, to her great credit, if I'm being honest, actually went out and talked to people in her district who split their vote between her and Donald Trump. And I give her great credit for that. Actually asking the question, why did you vote for Donald Trump and a Democratic socialist? That's a great question. And it's because people are done with bullshit. They're done with fake people. I've long said that I respect AOC and Bernie Sanders a hell of a lot more than I'll ever respect Joe Biden or Kamala Harris, because AOC and Bernie actually believe what they're saying. They're wrong, but they believe the stuff that they're saying. Kamala Harris and Joe Biden stick their finger up in the air and they see which way the wind is blowing, and because of that, they've lost the center. Look, an example on the right. Do I like all of Donald Trump's cabinet picks? No, I don't. That doctor from Fox that was pushing the vaccines, not a big fan of hers. Not a big fan of Marco Rubio. A couple people I'm not a big fan of. But I believe in the movement, and I believe in moving forward. I believe that the consultant class needs to die a slow, slow death. They've got to go. And that's why, in its totality, I like all of Trump's picks, because they're there to uproot the system. And take AOC, Bernie, the communists, they at least believe what they're saying. They believe exactly what they're saying. Bernie's had the same damn policies for like 40 years. You can't have the same views for 40 years and be full of shit. No possible way. No possible way. But there are still some people in the Democratic Party who don't get it. And this election, you know, I've been sitting around for quite some time, really trying to analyze what this election was all about. Was it immigration? Was it inflation? Was it fed up with the neoliberal, neocon establishment? Was it all? No, it wasn't. It was none of those things. It was a repudiation to elitism. Now, when I say that, I want to be very clear. You can be an elite, but not be an elitist. Donald Trump is obviously elite. Elon Musk is obviously an elite. But they're not elitists. In just a minute, I'm going to show you two clips from Bill Maher's show that proves that he is an elite, but not an elitist. Because elitists think that because they are good at one thing, you ought to listen to them on all things. And between Bill and one of his other guests, they really break this down and put Neil deGrasse Tyson and Donna Brazile in their perspective places. Before we get to that, guys, armor colostrum.
The biggest benefit, honestly, has been with my skin. Skin was more hydrated, more radiant.
This is the best superfood that you could take.
It has all the essential nutrients you need for your skin, your gut, energy, focus, mood, performance.
My hair has gotten so much thicker ever since taking this.
I used to have a probiotic, a green juice that replaced it all with this Arma colostrum. It is amazing.
You gotta take it.
If you wanna try it, try Arma.com.
Guys, start feeling better today with the superfood formula over at TryArmra.com/LFATV. That is TryArmra.com/LFATV. I'm sorry, Donnelly. I added a C at the end of a word. Is that the biggest problem today, really? Whatever. Guys, head on over to TryArmra.com/LFATV. That's TryArmra.com/LFATV to get 15% off your first order, guys. Start feeling better today with the superfood formula over at TryArmra.com/LFATV. Guys, hit that thumbs up button. Share the video out all over the place. If you're watching on Facebook, hit that at button at your followers, at your highlights, so that more people will see this. If you're watching on X, make sure you repost this video so that more people can see it. Hit that quote tweet button. It really does help me out so much. If you're watching on Rumble, share it out. Hit the like button. Giddy up. Let's go. Kate, what's happening? What is happening? Doing good, doing good. So we're going to start off with a clip from Neil deGrasse Tyson. Neil deGrasse Tyson, obviously an astrophysicist, brilliant guy. No one would consider him to be stupid in his chosen field. But just because you studied under guys like Carl Sagan and you made a really good TV show about the universe doesn't mean you know everything about everything. And here's Bill Maher putting him in his place on the topic of vaccines.
So that means we're incapable as a species of truly understanding risk. This goes to, like, vaccines, okay? I don't want to, like, poke the bear here, but... But what I'm saying is...
The bear believes in vaccines, just being skeptical of all medical interventions, as everyone should.
Well, except... Wait. Except 99 out of 100 medical interventions, you're not saying, I need a second opinion. If you have tuberculosis, you don't need a second opinion. If you have polyps in your colon...
It's not close to 99%.
It's easily 99%.
It is not.
If you break a femur, you don't get a second opinion on that.
I agree, but that's not most... things that happen to people. Lots of things that happen to people, and I'm thrilled that you don't ever have this happen in your life, but I hope you never do. But trust me, most people at a certain point in their life will need a second opinion.
Yes, but that's after you've been through 99 other... I'm trying to put credit back to doctors, where our life expectancy is three times what it was 150 years ago. And everyone before 150 years ago, and they're, half of them died before they were 35.
Yeah, because
science matters.
Of course it does.
But sometimes you don't sound that way. That's what worries me.
Well, you're the guy who doesn't understand why the NBA team can't beat the Lakers. So I don't know. You know, you're supposed to be the scientist, and you couldn't even admit that. But as far as medicine goes, I could talk to you this about all day. But again, we do have a party to get to.
But
Wait, this is not your field. You're not a doctor.
No, but I'm a scientist. Excuse me.
Yeah, that's not a doctor.
No, hold on. I'm a scientist. You know what?
When I get a goiter on Uranus, I'll call you.
No, don't call me. But when it's time to assess risk, that's something that comes out of the world of probability statistics, and scientists are trained in that. But there's a documentary on PBS.org right now that talks about what it means to accept a risk, or to, like in a vaccine, if you don't want to get a vaccine, that's like walking around with a baseball bat, fine. But if you hit someone with it, that's bad. There's a social contract to not infect other people.
He's into the science moment. I'm ready to drink wine.
Thank you, everybody.
Now, look, I want to be clear. You guys know I show Bill Maher on this show all the time mostly because of the next clip I'm going to show you. But there is a guy who's got a PhD, who by all accounts is very, very smart in his chosen field, who thinks that he understands everything. And in relation to that, the part that Bill Maher said, Neil deGrasse Tyson very famously said that the best team in the WNBA could beat the LA Lakers. Now, look, I want to be clear. No, they can't. They can't. If you took the five best WNBA players of all time, put them together, they couldn't beat the shittiest college men's basketball team. That's just a fact. That's why we have separate leagues. Now, with all that being said, over the course of the last couple of weeks, we have really dove in to what lost this election for someone like Kamala Harris. And I got to be honest, I don't think it was her. I don't. I think it was a culmination of 10 years worth of nonsense. It was each individual snowflake creating an avalanche, and that avalanche culminating in the 2024 presidential race. I think it was people pretending the Jesse Smollett story was real. I think it was, in regards to that one, to that last comment I made, it was people out there not being correctly checked when they would say a sentence like, Caitlin Clark is only getting attention because she's white. There was these sorts of events that all culminated into people saying, the talking heads on TV, I'm done with you. I'm done with you, and I'm done for everything you stand for. And some people are trying to point that out. Here's Andrew Sullivan on that very same show, Bill Maher's Overtime, explaining to the former head of the Democratic National Committee why they lost, and she just doesn't get it.
The big issue, right? Was immigration. And
inflation, immigration.
Those two are very big issues. And you asked Vice President Harris,
right,
why did you let all these people in for the last 4 years? She did not have an answer. I still don't know the answer. They actually could, with an executive order, shut it down as they did earlier this year. So why did they not do it 3 years earlier? And I think people felt she did not respond to that in any way. She had no answer on inflation. And she also seemed to represent that whole woke zone that people are sick to death of. And yeah, I think those three did it.
Well, I agree with the first two, because immigration, as I said, well, inflation was something the Biden-Harris administration, they wrestled with that through the supply chain, through trying to lower the cost, making sure that people could afford their groceries and their gas. But still, child care became a big issue, housing, the cost of housing. So while I do believe that they made significant gains, there's no question immigration became an issue. But I'm not going to get into this, oh, the people are too damn woke. That wasn't an issue. What happened?
Yeah, it was.
I disagree with you.
I know, and that's why you're going to keep losing.
No, man, look.
I mean, why do you think that after...
And that's why you're going to keep losing. Because they just don't get it. People do not want this crap in their lives. They don't want to be told that they should feel guilty for being white or that they can't accomplish things because they're black. People are done with it. They're just done with it. And until Democrats start to figure out why they lost, they're going to keep losing. And you know what? I'm all here for it. Woke was the whole issue. Absolutely. And it wasn't a particular moment. As I said, it was each individual snowflake creating an avalanche. It was the DEI programs. It was people knowing that they weren't getting hired for particular jobs because of their race. It was people telling the elitists of the world that they've had enough. They have absolutely had enough. And we're beginning to see this over multiple areas of the economy, but most notably in colleges. We're seeing something for the first time in American universities that we have not seen in decades. Before we get to that, guys, hit that thumbs up button. Share the video out all over the place. Share it out. Giddy up, let's go. Guys, before we keep rocking and rolling here, head on over to lfatv.us. That's lfatv.us. That is your home base, your mothership, your landing pad. For all things LFATV related, check out the LFATV store. Look, guys, we've got so much upcoming, so much planned over the course of the next 2 months or so. We can't do it without your help, without your donations, without your support, without your rumble rants. Without this, we can't keep this going. So we appreciate all the support you guys give us, as always, by going to lfatv.us. That's lfatv.us. What's up, Conservative Autumn? I didn't say hello to you today. Sorry about that. Make sure. Thumbs up. Let's get to 300 by the end of the show, guys. Go to. Wait, what the hell is this? We've got breaking news at this hour. Hold on a minute here. Is this happening right now? Give me 1 second, guys. We may have some major breaking news right now. It appears special counsel Jack Smith has officially dropped all charges against President Trump. Hold on a minute. We got this breaking from NBC News. Give me 1 second. Ho, ho, ho. What do we got here? NBC just breaking in with this. Boom. Let's pop this up on. Come on, download, please. Thank you. Here we go. Here's NBC News.
This is an NBC News special report. Here's Lester Holt.
Good day. We're coming on the air with breaking news about President-elect Donald Trump. The Justice Department Special Counsel Jack Smith just filed a motion to dismiss the federal criminal case against the president-elect over his efforts to overturn the 2020 election results. The news comes after NBC News learned the Justice Department had been planning to wind down its federal cases against Mr. Trump. It also comes as NBC News learned that Smith and his team plan to resign before Mr. Trump returns to the White House.
You know what? I gotta tell you guys, I think that, so much winning, I'm getting tired of it. So much damn winning. Jack Smith seeks to wind down and has filed a motion to dismiss all January 6th related charges on President Trump. That is breaking news at this hour. Ho, 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 yeah, baby. I'm liking it a lot. So much winning. Are you getting tired of the winning just yet? That handsome devil escapes it yet again. Or here we go. Sorry about that. I was looking for this. That's all I got, baby. Ray Liotta laughing his ass off, knowing that Donald Trump has escaped yet again. Somewhere, somewhere Rachel Maddow is crying. Somewhere Rachel Maddow is very, very sad that that this is happening. Probably looks something like this.
To at least three. Can we put up the graphic of this?
Rachel Maddow's just crying somewhere right now, guys. That is some funny stuff. I don't even know where the hell I was before that, Satan. What the hell was I even talking about as that breaking news came in? Ah, yes. We are seeing the death of elitism. We are seeing the death of people who think that they ought to exist, who think that their opinions should trump truth, should trump facts. So much so that the CEO of NPR actually had the audacity to go out on television, I think this was at a TED Talk, actually, and say that it is more important to preserve the narrative than to preserve truth. Here she is.
But one of the most significant differences critical for moving from polarization to productivity is that the Wikipedians who write these articles aren't actually focused on finding the truth. They're working for something that's a little bit more attainable, which is the best of what we can know right now. And after 7 years there, I actually believe that they're onto something. That for our most tricky disagreements, seeking the truth and seeking to convince others of the truth isn't necessarily the best place to start. In fact, I think our reverence for the truth might have become a bit of a distraction that is preventing us from finding consensus and getting important things done.
You hear that? Finding the truth is not as important as getting things done. No, lady, it's not. No, it isn't. Because if you get things done based in falsehood, you end up with very bad outcomes. But luckily, we've got Doge. Luckily, we've got Doge, and we're going to get to that in 1 second as we wrap up the day today, guys. Before we do that, head on over to loudmajorityusa.com. That's loudmajorityusa.com. Sign up for our newsletter. Check out the shop. Giddy up. We got Black Friday deals all over the damn place. Let's go. Where the hell is it? Boom, boom, boom. Let's pop this up right here, guys. Black Friday deals, guys. Use promo code Black Friday at checkout. Let's scroll. Look at this. Whoever makes this damn website is absolutely awesome. Whoever makes this website is absolutely great. All the phenomenal Christmas stuff. We've got Trump crop tops for the ladies out there. For all the 20-year-olds who like to wear those things, we got baby stuff. We got so much good stuff over here. LoudMajorityUSA.com. That is Black Friday deals. Oh, yeah. By the way, these shorts right here, I have a pair. They are absolutely spectacular. Grab those today, guys. Get your pet stuff. We got Trump Vance flags still left, guys. That's LoudMajorityUSA.com. Use promo code Black Friday today. So, speaking of Elon Musk and Doge, the Department of Government Efficiency, Marjorie Taylor Greene has been appointed the head of the Doge subcommittee, and she suggests that places like NPR and PBS could get serious funding cuts, if not cut their funding altogether. The president-elect's Department of Government Efficiency could set their sights on government-funded media programs like NPR, which you just saw the CEO of say the truth is not her major priority. Green, who has been tasked with heading the new House Oversight Subcommittee to work with Doge leaders like Vivek Ramaswamy and Elon Musk, mentioned the networks while discussing how she believes wasteful spending is happening all over the United States with Maria Bartiromo. Here's who that was.
Tell us what you see as the most government waste.
It's all over. Every single government department, program, grant programs, contracts, it is everywhere. And so when we look into a deep dive into this massive problem that's caused America to be $36 trillion in debt, we're going to have to go into all kinds of buckets. And that's how I'll be separating things on the Oversight Subcommittee on Doge. We'll be looking at everything from government-funded media programs like NPR that spread nothing but Democrat propaganda. We'll be going into grant programs that fund things like sex apps in Malaysia, toilets in Africa, all kinds of programs that don't help the American people. I want to talk to the people at the Pentagon and ask them why they can't find billions of dollars every single year and why they fail their audit. But not just that.
I think this is a great idea. I don't know why we have state-funded media anyway. It's not like PBS and NPR aren't able to secure large donors like the Koch brothers and the Soros Foundation in order to push their propaganda. Let them do that on their own. As Senator John Kennedy said, I don't think the American people should fund countries that hate us. They ought to hate us for free. Well, PBS and NPR can do the same damn thing. If you like PBS, if you like NPR, then tune into it. I'm not quite sure why the hell I've got to pay for it. But self-important assholes like the guy from Axios and that lady from NPR think it is your responsibility to fund their propaganda. I say no thank you. I say no, no, thank you. Guys, we're going to wrap up today. I want to thank everybody so much for tuning in. Make sure you keep it locked in here for Will Johnson and Culture Wars. Coming up next here on LFATV, rumble.com/LFATV. Guys, head on over to loudmajorityusa.com. Sign up for the newsletter. Check out our shop. Giddy up. Let's go. I'll catch you guys back live tomorrow. Until then, everybody, stay loud.